This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
44 goals made it a single game week record as players punished early transfer panic. There was Ings, Son, Kane, TAA. So many returns sent FPL manic. With so many returns come so many options. There's a feast of talent available, none of which seems to be in my team. Maybe I'll turn to Gareth Bale for old time's sake, a real blast from the past. This early pace surely can't last. Is another few hat-tricks too much to ask? Isn't this game pretty damn hard to grasp? Welcome to the 53rd episode of Triple Captain.
What a game week. It's just so many goals. I heard that it was the most goals scored in a Premier League weekend since it went to 20 teams in the league. Insane.
Insane. Yeah, it was a record. And none of those goals seem to be from our teams.
No. Absolutely. I think I got two goals out of my whole team. Oh, so gutted. But yeah, how are you boys doing anyway?
I'm very well. I'm obviously cautioning no panic, as always, with FPL, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But yeah, I'm all good. Not so sure about our lovely producer, though.
You all right, Ben?
Yeah, hello.
Why don't you do the intros for the pod? Remind everyone who we are.
Go on. Well, that put a smile on your face.
Yeah, that's Rich, the Scouse one. He did all right this week. That's Luke, the actor. Finishes pretty highly every year. Loves FPL. He did all right this week. I got no goals. Goals at all this week in my team.
In the highest record for goals in a Premier League weekend, you didn't get a goal.
Literally the worst week I've ever had in FPL. Like, I'm not even joking. There's been times where, like, remember last season I left Lundstrom out and he came on and scored a brace?
Yeah, remember
that. That was the same week where I would have had Lundstrom come off my bench had Otamendi stayed on the bench for Man City, and in the 93rd minute, Pep brought him on. Do you remember that? That was a bad game week. This has been so much worse. I don't think I have ever been this far below the average. I'm on 28 points this week. Yeah. And you just look around, and this game week, like Harry Kane getting four assists. Do you know how many assists Harry Kane got all of last season?
Go on.
Two. So he doubled the number of assists he got last year in one game than he got for the whole of last season.
Flip
this
it,
game,
eh?
Like Son scoring four goals. Obviously, I transferred out Son last week because my plan was always to bring in Bruno Fernandes. Yeah. Kept 1.5 million in the bank and everything. And of course, Son goes on and scores four goals. It's just
an unbelievable
week. Especially as we were saying just how bad Tottenham were in their opening week.
I could not believe watching that Tottenham match. I mean, in the first half, it looked to be exactly the same. Tottenham were like all out of ideas. They missed like any kind of like creativity. And then I think like the commentator on BT Sport put it quite well. He said Harry Kane's turned into Christian Eriksen. And he did. He was getting all the assists left, right and centre.
That Salah miss right at the end of their game, that just kind of summed up my entire game week. And you know what? I wouldn't even be here if it were not for Villa winning last night and Konza getting the goal for Villa, because in
what
our
result?
End of season podcast I said Konza, as soon as I can get him in, he's going in my team, and he would have been in my team had it not been for that blank game week and game week one for Villa. But Konza going on, I think he got 14 points, you know, because it was a Tyrone Mings assist into a Konza goal for Villa to beat Sheffield United 1-0 last night.
Was it a flick on from a corner or something?
But I have to say, I'm not really going to talk much this podcast because I'm so deflated when it comes to FPL. I'm just going to sit back and listen, and I need you boys to fix everything that I'm doing with my team Worst game week ever. Worst game week ever.
Yeah.
The good thing is there's always the next game week to bounce back, Ben. Remember that.
A sobering game week, I think it's fair to say.
Let's put it that way. We've got the title of the episode right there.
Yeah. So just to fully remind everybody who we are. We are Triple Captain at Triple Captain 3 on social media. We're an FPL podcast full of light fun. We like to think that anyway. We try to look at the game with a light touch. And yeah, I think it's obviously been a tough week for you, Ben. I mean, in terms of myself and Rich, we'll come with the positivity now. I think we're on exactly the same amount of points, Rich. And if you divide those points by two, we've got 68 points per game week. If we continued with 68 points per game week for the rest of the season, we'd win FPL. We've yeah. not had a bad start at all, okay? Like, the average, as we've just said, 44 goals. It was a record for the game week. The average is so high at the moment. The average was 59 this week. I think it was 58 last week, wasn't it? Something like that. So
I think, like, this first few weeks of the season as well are where all, like, the casual players just go mental and start putting triple captain on everyone as well. So, I mean, I'm looking at the highest points in the world. Some guy called Ethan from New Zealand, I think it is. He got 165 points.
Yeah.
165. He triple captain Kane, who got him 63. He had Son. He had Calvert-Lewin. He got Son, who got four goals. He got Calvert-Lewin, who got a hat-trick. He got Barnes, who scored. He got Rodriguez, who scored. He got Castagna, who... Did he score or he got an assist or something?
Yes.
Justin scored. Alisson got clean sheet. The only man who really let him down was Wilson and Salah. Like, he's absolutely smashed it. But I guarantee he'll disappear as the game season goes
that's
on.
That's the thing. Like, there's been no FPL season ever where anybody has scored over, like, around 68 points a week, to my knowledge. So there's that kind of early pace will not last unless, you know, the season is a complete record-breaking season and there's so many goals flying in, which there seem to be this weekend. You know, you can almost see it now, game week three, everybody rushing to get loads of these players in that have started really well, and then there's a really low scoring game week. So I think if you're doing okay, I mean, not quite sure what I'd do if I was Ben right now, because that is pretty bad luck to start with that game week two. But I think particularly for mine and your teams, Rich, I'm certainly going to be patient. I'm not going to play a wild card yet. I mean, this game week, I got 58. So, you know, not great in terms of the records being smashed. But in many ways, I actually preferred this game week to last game week because seven of my players returned. Whereas the week before, it was like half the points were scored by Salah and a couple more return points, but there was lots of players that are blanked. Whereas this week I had Ryan with a clean sheet, Justin got his goal for 7 points, Robertson and Alexander-Arnold got their clean sheets, even Walker-Peters got an assist despite the you know, five goals conceded, Cameron. So he still got three. Aubameyang got his assist for 10, and Danny Ings got 11 points. So there was only Salah, Bruno, Saint-Maximin and Wilson that that blanked. In a way, I'm quite happy with that. It would only have taken... It's Salah and Bruno have let me down, really. You put your faith in those premiums and they're not gonna lose their quality over the course of the next few game weeks. I fully expect them to get back and return. So in a way, I was actually... I mean, I avoided all the results on Sunday because I had family round and I thought, I can't just be checking my phone the whole time. So I turned my phone off and watched Match of the Day on Sunday night, and I was quite happy with all of my players returning, apart from, of course, taking Son out for Bruno Fernandes.
Which is devastating. That was the painful one.
But, you know, like I said, if Son had scored a goal or two in that first game week, I'd have gone, I might as well roll the transfer. Son's playing really well. Spurs look great.
Yes.
They're playing Southampton. Southampton didn't look great in that first game. I'll hold Son and I'll wait and I'll bring in Bruno on two free transfers. But because Son was so terrible and Spurs looked so bad against Everton, actually, it may have been that Everton just played them off the park. And I think after Everton's result, that may well have been the case. But then, there's nothing I would have done. That's what I planned to do. So I can't really think, oh God, I was so close to keeping Son in my team, because I wasn't. You know?
Yeah, no, I know entirely what you mean. I mean, Southampton, they were just playing so high up. Literally, the ball went to Kane and he just kicked it over the top of the defence. And Son ran in behind. Pretty much every goal was like a carbon copy.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was pretty happy because I had Kane. I mean, he was the one who I was thinking of taking out because obviously he's a premium who's leading the line for me. But he came in with his 21 because I was umming and ahhing of bringing in Sterling and Calvert-Lewin for Kane and Havertz or something like that. But I think in the end, Kane ended up getting more points than Calvert-Lewin, despite only scoring one goal. So I got quite lucky with that one. Again, I had double Liverpool defence, Van Dijk and Alexander-Arnold getting me that clean sheet. Walker-Peters got the assist. Taylor got an assist for Burnley as well, which was quite nice to see. Aubameyang got his assist as well. And Dean Garner, of West Brom even got a goal. I knew that little gamble would pay off. And as always, Mitchell on the bench once again with a nice solid 5 points, which would have been nice to see him come in and add that to my tally. But yeah, pretty decent game week. The only one who really, really gets on my nerves at the moment is Havertz, because Chelsea have got such quality, but they just don't seem to be like clicking one bit. I know they had a man sent off and they were playing Liverpool and that, but I think he got dragged off at half time, didn't he, Havertz?
They didn't look great, did they? I wondered if you thought it was because of the sending off, and I don't think that helped. And I mean, obviously they missed a penalty as well, and they still had a couple of chances, which doesn't necessarily bode well for Liverpool's defence. I mean, Alisson made a great save from the penalty, didn't he? So yeah. Chelsea perhaps a little unlucky, but yeah, they're certainly not setting the world alight yet, and I'm glad I held off on them for now.
Yeah, that was a smart move. I mean, he's so much money. I really want to get him out, but I'm just looking at the next two games. They've got West Brom and then Crystal Palace at Stamford Bridge. So,
nice games.
He's not done anything to show me that he's going to score, but when you see those fixtures, he's a lot of money, but I think I might leave him in for the next couple of game weeks. It's a big gamble. It's a big, big gamble. This is what I did last season with Sigurdsson. Left him in for so long and he cost so much money. And he did nothing for me. And hopefully, you know, lightning's not striking twice with my luck on that front once again.
Mm. Yeah, so I presume, I think I'm around 720k. So I've dropped down by about 400k. But as I say, overall, 68 points average for the first two game weeks. I'd have taken that all day long at the start of the season. And I don't feel like I need to wild card or do anything drastic with my team just yet. Mm. I mean, we'll see how this next game week doesn't look great on paper for my team. But then after that, the transfers I've planned and things, the fixtures look really good for me, kind of game week four, game week five. So I'm hoping I can kind of ride the storm this game week. Players like Sam Maximan kind of needs to go. I can't see him really doing much, and he's got a slight injury as well, so I'm kind of waiting on news for him. And it's whether to bring in the City players for Aubameyang or hold Aubameyang for one more week, but obviously they play Liverpool, so it's a gamble either way. So this game week could be a bit trickier for me, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's one of that. I mean, we're going to discuss premiums in a bit later on in the podcast, aren't we, over who's the best option. Quickly, Ben, how are you feeling about your team? Did anybody get you any big points?
No.
Okay, let's move on.
I feel really dreadful about it, and I feel really thrown by that blank game week one, and I wish I'd just jumped on the wildcard bandwagon last week. I know so many people did it. I think 500,000 wildcards were played for game week two. And about 250,000 free hits. So I do wish that I'd pulled it, because I'm looking at it now and it's not even like I've given myself any decent options and where to jump off from. I look around and there's too many fights. Like, I really, really, really wanted to keep a wild card for the end of the transfer window, so kind of around the 5th of October, which isn't that far away. Part of me still thinks just take a few hits for a few weeks and just wait until everyone is in their place, because they could. I still really think there's so much talk around, you know, not necessarily players necessarily coming in anymore. I think the kind of business from abroad seems to be pretty much done, but there's still internal moves. Like Brewster, for example, for Liverpool, there's more talk about him going to
Palace.
To sign on fully rather than, and there was also a potential loan move to Sheffield United on the cards, wasn't there? Now, stuff like that, even though it's not the most exciting, biggest, most glamorous transfer in the world, when it comes to FPL, a 4.5 million striker who actually does start, and, you know, part of me thinks just wait, because what is it? The transfer window, I believe, is over on the 5th of October. Is that right?
Yeah, a couple of weeks to go on it, yeah. Cool. So, should we mention what is going to be in the podcast this week?
Yes.
So, we are going to be talking about early signs, what kind of clubs we think are playing attractive football and what clubs are playing awful football, and who we think in those sides you should avoid and who you should get into your squad. We're also going to be talking about the battle of the premiums, specifically midfield premiums, or are we going to go all premiums?
Midfield, I think.
Yeah, we'll do midfield premiums then. Okay. And then, as always, we will answer questions fielded to us on Twitter. So should we start with in form slash out of form teams and who's impressing us early on?
Yeah. I mean, a few stand out, don't they? Of course, Everton, Leeds scoring lots of goals. Spurs obviously scored lots of goals against Southampton. Yeah. That they're kind of a mixed bag, but they've got Gareth Bale coming in and they've just signed that left back as well. Should we do Everton first?
Yeah, we talk Everton. Happily talk Everton.
How did it go, by the way, Rich? Your inaugural social media... What's the title?
It was cool. I guess so, yeah. Like social media presenter, something like that. Sounds...
Everton's presenter.
Yeah, the Everton's man on the presenter. Ground. Yeah, man in the stand. So there was it was cool. It was me and Kevin Campbell. And another girl called Sarah, who was like the co-host. It was cool. We were just kind of like stood in the park end in an empty Goodison Park. And it was just like so bizarre. So it was just like the players and then like the media staff walking around. And like, I was just like having a chat with Kevin Campbell. And from like behind us, you just hear that, "Hey, Kev," from like down by the touchline. And it's Slaven Bilic. And Slaven Bilic just starts walking up the stairs and just shakes Kevin Campbell's hand. And I'm next to him like, "You all right, Slav? How you doing, mate?" I didn't know what to say to him. And then, like, Martin Keown walked past and gave him a wave and stuff. He was doing some stuff. I think he was doing the commentary for the telly. And, yeah, it was a nice 3 points as well. So it was quite a memorable afternoon for me, personally. But, yeah, Everton just looked great again. I mean, West Brom obviously took the lead early on, caught us on the counter-attack. Deanne Garner, he looks like one of their two tricky wingers. But I think the red card in that game proper turned the game on its head. You could tell we were the better team, but I think West Brom were always going to struggle when they had 10 men. But our front three this season, like, they look so threatening. We didn't have any midfield at all last season, so I think having a good midfield behind the attack this year is really going to benefit Everton. Obviously, Calvert-Lewin got his hat-trick. Richarlison, I think he's had 2 goals ruled out for offside in 2 games now, and he looks properly threatening going forward. So I'm actually bringing him in this game week. And then you got James as well, who looks really good. He's just a classy footballer. Like, he doesn't seem to have a bead of sweat dripping off his head. It just seems all so effortless. I don't know whether that will mean he gets more assists or more goals, but he seems to me to be the guy who gets the assist for the assist, if you know what I mean. I know he got a goal against West Brom, which was very nice. But yeah, we just look good going forward. We've got a bit of structure and a bit of balance in the team. Like, Luca Dean seems to be back to his good old best as well. Even Pickford's pulling out some saves. Who would have thought of that? And I think Michael Keane's got a couple of goals this season as well, which is another odd one. But yeah, Everton just looked to be going really well. But I think Crystal Palace this game week is going to be the first proper test because they've been in good form as well.
Yes, I must admit, not owning Everton players and seeing that fixture against Palace away, isn't it, at Palace? Not that that makes too much difference without fans. But yeah, I must admit, when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, good. I don't need to rush too much to get Everton in because I think that will be a tougher game.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, they only got the one goal against Spurs, and obviously West Brom had a man sent off. I haven't actually watched any of the highlights of the Everton game, so I'm completely relying on what you're saying, Rich, but they sound really attractive. I'm interested that you've brought in Richarlison instead of Calvert-Lewin, and I think that could be a really great differential because obviously everyone now is going to be rushing to get Calvert-Lewin in after his hat-trick, and it's something I kind of said I'm not going to do this season because I remember last season bringing in Pookie as soon as he scored his hat-trick, and then I think I brought in, I can't remember who it was, but I brought in someone else, like the game week immediately after they scored a hat-trick.
Yeah.
And actually you think, well, he's not going to get another hat-trick, is he? Surely.
No, not at all.
But at the same time, that could be a really good move because he could be one of those players that has a brilliant season, you know, and is up towards golden boot levels. And for his price, could be superb. No. But interesting that you're going for Richarlison over him.
Yeah, I've gone for Richarlison simply because, like I said, he's had 2 goals ruled out for offside. I think he's had more shots than anybody else this season as well. And he just looks like he's in really good form. And we seem to be playing like a 4-3-3, but when James gets it on the right, he's not like running at defenders. He's like cutting in and then playing it to either Luca Dean, who's making the bomb and overlap, or giving it to Richarlison on the opposite wing. And Richarlison's getting opportunities, and he wins a lot of headers from crosses and that sort of thing. He's good in the air. And I think he was equal top scorer with Calvert-Lewin last season. And a big part of my thinking in this is that Calvert-Lewin's had his chance to shine. So now it's Richarlison's time to shine. So, you know, hopefully I'm right. But yeah, the only worry is that it's Crystal Palace and they're going to be tough to break down going off what I've seen from them in the first couple of weeks. But yeah, Richarlison, he's already in my team. And I did that thing. I got carried away with my transfers and completely forgot that there's midweek League Cup fixtures. So if he picks up a knock, I'm going to have to bring in flipping Davis from Aston Villa or something like that into my squad. But yeah, hopefully he'll be safe and wrap him in cotton wool a little bit and, you know, hopefully he'll be okay. But yeah, Richarlison's got to come in.
Nice. And what about Leeds? Can they keep up their average of 4 goals a game?
They're just mental, aren't they? Like, they just go forward. I remember at the start of the season, or in pre-season rather, we were like, oh yeah, I think maybe like Dallas or Ayling. Leeds looked pretty solid last season, and now we're like, Jesus Christ, I'm never touching any Leeds defenders all season if they continue playing like this. But no, they look good, don't they? And they're getting goals from all over the park. I think Bamford was a player who people like rushed to get in, and he's delivered for them. I think that kind of summed up our look
podcast. After the last pod, I was like, so odd that people are bringing in Bamford and then he scored again. So fair enough. I hold my hands up there. I was maybe wrong. But we'll see with Leeds, won't we? I mean, I really like the look of Helder Costa. I like the fact that he's got Premier League experience with Wolves. And obviously he didn't play much for Wolves, but when he did, he scored okay. He scored quite a decent amount of points, kind of exactly where you want your 5.5 million midfielder to be. And he's carried that on straight away with Leeds so far in those two games. You know, I think he got a couple of assists or maybe one assist against Liverpool. And then obviously he did really well against Fulham. So I like him. Klitry obviously looks like a good option as well, because I think he's on penalties. Harrison also 5.5 million. They've got some really good options at low prices. And I think that 5.5 million midfield category, there were slim pickings at the start of the season, and suddenly it's looking really interesting. And I think I think if Sam Maximan is going to be out for this game week, I think I may even take a -4, but I don't want to, but he might be the one that I have to bring out. So then I've got Leeds to choose from. I've got Neto and Podence from Wolves to choose from. There's suddenly the 5.5 million category looks pretty good. I can't wait to bring in either Sterling or KDB for game week 4 when they play Leeds.
Oh yeah! Oh my God, it's going to be like a 7-5 or something crazy like that. We could well see another record broken. But yeah, just thinking like other teams that have been in form, has anybody else impressed you early doors?
Can I ask you boys about Leicester? Just because I've got no Leicester players, but two of the top, you know, I know it's only been 2 game weeks, but Justin and Castagna, is that how you say his name? Castagna?
Yeah, Castagna.
Are two of the top scoring defenders after 2 weeks. And another interesting Leicester fact for you, which I saw on social media the other day.
Go on.
In terms of, this was from the FPL General, he tweeted this. In terms of the touches in the box in the last Leicester game, Barnes had 10. Vardy had 3, and then back to those defenders, Justin and Castagna both had 4 touches in the box.
No way, more than Vardy.
More than Vardy. What do we think about Leicester?
I really like him. Castagna, I remember Everton played Atalanta a few years ago and they absolutely spanked us. It was like 4-0 or something like that. I mean, this is when we had Ashley Williams in defence, so you know, it wasn't really the glory days. But Castagna down the right-hand side was so, so good. And coming into Leicester, he seems to have exactly that. He's just like marauding. Like, he seems like unstoppable, and he's always so desperate to get forward with the ball. Has he got a goal and an assist now in his first 2 games, which is, you know, pretty good for a player who's completely new to the league. But yeah, he looks really good. The only worry I have with Justin is that maybe he'll be replaced, because he's a right back naturally, I think, isn't he? But he's playing left back at the moment. And I don't know whether Leicester are in the market for a new left back. But looking at these stats, like, why would you splash loads of money on a brand new left back when Justin's delivering the goods?
They've got Pereira to come back as well. I'm really glad I put Justin in to start with, but I think Pereira, once Pereira comes back, it will be him and Castagna, won't it? Is Castagna naturally a left back, or is he naturally a right back?
I don't know, actually.
It's going to be interesting to see, isn't it, what Rodgers does, but you'd imagine Justin will then come out the team. So I did put him in knowing that he'll probably be a transfer out down the line.
Yeah.
I mean, easy switch to someone like Lamptey. I mean, Lamptey looks so good for Brighton going forward. I mean, he's just, he's like their best player.
He's so enthusiastic, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really good. I mean, he picked up a slight knock, I think, which is why, unfortunately, he got brought off before Brighton got their clean sheet. I think he got brought off on like 57 minutes. So, shame for owners. But yeah, I mean, someone like that looks really good. But yeah, I think Leicester have started really well. I mean, I was very close to putting Harvey Barnes in my game week one team and decided to go for the reliability of Robertson at the back instead and kind of move things around like that. But Harvey Barnes was my choice out of the 7 million midfield category. He's started really, really well. They had a great game. I mean, to score 4 goals against Burnley is no mean feat. I mean, it seems like Burnley have gone back to starting their season with conceding lots of goals, and then about halfway through they'll tighten up and win loads of games 1-0 again. But yeah, Leicester look pretty good. I wouldn't be against Barnes. I wouldn't be against Vardy. Justin looks great, but obviously if you bring in Justin in, you know you've got to transfer him out further down the line for Pereira more than likely. Castagne looks really good as well, but he's 5.5 million, so obviously he'd have to be kind of tipping towards a premium defender.
But it's tough one to get him in.
Yeah, they do.
While we're talking fullbacks, can I give a shout out to Villa's new signing, Matty Cash? He absolutely flew yesterday against Sheffield United. He was involved so much. Like, he was driving forward from the back. He's not scared to make a run. His crossing was fabulous. And actually, it's a shame that Ollie Watkins... I don't know if he was intimidated by it being his first Premier League game. He had a decent pre-season. He's our new striker. We bought him from Brentford, obviously. But if he'd got on the end of a couple more, Matty Cash could have got 2 assists easily last night. Mm. So
this is what I mean. There's so many options, isn't there, right now? I mean, and it's almost like it's how do you pick? Who are you going to pick out of all of these options? And that's why in times like this, I just go, wait, wait and see.
Well,
we're 2 games in. But Villa look to have really tightened up at the back. I mean, you know, they played Sheffield United, who were toothless in attack, and they got a man sent off, and they missed a penalty. Lord Lundstrom, how the mighty have fallen, missing his penalty.
I can't believe he was on the penalty.
I know, but you've got Martinez in goal now. He's a great goalkeeper. Yeah, Konsa at the back, exactly what Ben said. Mings is obviously good, but he's a bit pricey. And then you've got Matty Cash and Target as the fullbacks. They're worth a gamble if they've got a good run of fixtures, I think.
Yeah, I'd avoid Target because he gave the penalty away, and he does do that quite a lot. Great, and he does fly forward, but he loves a late challenge.
Right. Okay.
What about Grealish? What was he like?
You know what? Grealish was unlucky. Like, he was getting him. The thing that was annoying last night, and I think could change, and I think this is what Dean Smith will say to him, is he was just waiting too long. He was just taking that one extra touch before getting his shot away, and therefore he just gave the defender like one split second to block him. Actually, he had a few good pops, and I think he will return a load this season. I think he just needs to just fire it a bit quicker.
You know what that'll be, though? That'll just be that he's had a dry run of form and he's had pre-season. Once he gets into the flow of things, I think he'll start to find his feet, get his confidence, that sort of thing. Because he's going to be Villa's main man again. And out of all the Villa assets, he's the one who I'd most want.
Shall we just talk United before the premium conversation?
We've talked about good form. Let's talk about the opposite of that.
Are you ready for this?
Have you written something down?
No. God, no.
I thought you had a statement.
No.
That's like, he's prepared.
You know what, though? Like, seeing games like that and knowing that I've got the podcast to talk about, it does make me feel better, because it's like, you just want even though it's a very small platform we've got at the moment, I just really want to get these thoughts out of the way. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
Therapy.
Yeah, avoid United at all costs at the moment.
Really?
We were absolutely awful. Like, I've said it a lot over the past few years. Like, that was the worst performance since Fergie and blah, blah, blah. But it was well up there. I don't want to be that extreme because we have had some horrendous performances. But my goodness, it was bad. And you feel like... You feel like Crystal Palace have got United's number in a way. Even before the game, you looked at United's lineup and you've got Dan James and Fosu Mensah on the right.
That was odd.
I mean, and then he's talking about players that haven't had pre-season. And obviously there are lots of caveats to this, that effectively it was United's second pre-season match. But then Man City beat Wolves 3-1 last night. Man City are in exactly the same position and they looked fantastic. So that is not an excuse. I thought it was an excuse and I was kind of making myself feel better by that. And I was thinking, well, let's see what City do because they might not be up to scratch. But they were. So it's like, what on earth is going on? It's so, so bad at Old Trafford at the moment. It's really, really, really bad.
So what happened to Fernandes? Where was he?
I think he played okay. He played okay, but, you know, no one around him was doing anything. And then Van de Beek, I mean, kind of a bit worrying. Van de Beek came on and Fernandes dropped really deep. Van de Beek was playing, Van de Beek was playing number 10 and Fernandes dropped really deep, which is worrying, you know. And I just don't think, Solskjaer is good enough to manage United.
That's strange.
I've been all for, and I know this is very knee jerk me saying this, and we saw Spurs do terribly against Everton in that first game and then spank Southampton by 5 goals. So I'm certainly going to keep Fernandes for now in my team because we play, I mean, I'm very worried about Saturday afternoon when we play Brighton away. That's a very, very worrying fixture. Brighton have started They've just won 3-0. They did really well against Chelsea. They've got great options. You know, at United's defence, look, like, it's a disgrace what was going on at the back there. Luke Shaw for that goal. Was just, honestly, I've never seen anything like it. It was so bad. And yeah, I just don't think, I think you've said it all along, Rich, haven't you? I just don't think Ole has enough in his locker to make that step up to Guardiola, to Klopp, to even, you know, even Mourinho in a way. I know Mourinho's lost it now, but he hasn't got, I just don't think he's got it in him to make that step. So therefore, he's not, get Pochettino in, or get somebody in, I think.
That's got to be it. I think United, I mean, obviously it's only one game in and, you know, they could go on a 10-game unbeaten run.
Yeah.
Like, they had a great end to last season.
You're right.
It could happen. But, you know, this is what happened last season, wasn't it? United started pretty poorly and then as the season went on, they got more and more
consistent. Just don't understand. It's the transfer window, isn't it? You look at all the other clubs. Everton have done great business. Spurs have now done great business. City have strengthened as always. Liverpool have strengthened. Chelsea have brought in all those players. United have brought in one player. And we're like, it's like Woodward's trying to become Del Boy in the market or something. Like, what is he doing? It's horrendous. Yeah. And, you know, that penalty fiasco as well, I just think, the game of football has just completely changed for what we know it as and what we're used to. No fans in the stadium. You've got robots making the decisions. I know United got some dodgy penalties last season and I'm well aware of it. And that wasn't fair either. But when you've got a penalty given like that, which wasn't handball, and then De Gea was about an inch off his line and saved the penalty. It was very similar foot position to Alisson saving the penalty again. There's just no consistency. It's just the game's gone when there's decisions like that.
Do you feel better now?
Now I feel better.
Okay, good.
Ben just edits the whole section out. It's not about FPL.
So FPL wise then.
Yes, sorry.
Why did Greenwood not start, do you think? Is it because he had a busy old summer with his ladies and his balloons?
It seems like it, doesn't it? But like he was obviously ready to come on. So just start him, for God's sake. Pep started Foden and he scored.
Yeah.
You know, like... strange. They haven't had enough pre-season, so they're going to sit on the bench. What? Like, Dan James, after 30 games in a row, isn't as good as Mason Greenwood. After 30 games out. Like, just start the players that are better.
Yeah, that's weird. Why did he start Fosu Mensah?
Apparently same reason. Wan-Bissaka went on holiday to Dubai, so he had to quarantine for 2 weeks when he got back. I mean, how stupid can you get? You're supposed to be a professional footballer.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, avoid United until you've seen more. I mean, I'll be keeping Fernandes because he's got his obvious qualities. I'm slightly worried about Van der Beek playing his position, which would be so weird. Really, you want to see Van der Beek and Pogba start it. Didn't start Van der Beek either, even though he was ready to start. Start him, you idiot. Start with Van der Beek and Pogba, play Fernandes in his number 10 role, and maybe things will start to tick. But yeah, don't bring United in. I mean, no, nobody will they? There's no point even saying it. Nobody's going to bring him in.
No. Right, Luke, go have a lie down and then we'll talk about premiums.
Yeah, so I've had a lie down and I'm much calmer now. let's talk premium. So who are going to be the best options? Do you have two or three? At the moment, I've got three. And who do you pick? Obviously, Mane took the mantle from Salah, as they will do all season. You got Salah, yeah. Mane, Aubameyang, Kevin De Bruyne, who started as he left the season with loads of points, Sterling and Bruno Fernandes. I'm not missing anyone out there, am I?
No, not in terms of midfield options. I mean, having two is the dream, I think. The start of the season, I've had Salah and Aubameyang, and they had a great game week one and not so great game week two. But this game week, I'm mixing it up. I'm going to just go for the one premium midfielder. I'm going to leave Mo Salah in just because, I don't know, Aubameyang, we said this last season, don't we? We don't know when he's going to hit like a run of form. Like, he could be a goal every other game kind of guy. He could get a hat-trick one week, then not score for another two. Like, it's quite odd. But then the same with Mo Salah. So it's so hard to pick who your premium's going to be. Same with Sterling, the same with Mane. It's very difficult. But for me, the most consistent of them all is probably Kevin De Bruyne. And I'd love to get him in. But he only just about edges them all for me. I think he's out of all of them the most different as well. You could probably most closely compare him to Fernandes. But he just seems to offer everything. Nobody kicks a ball quite as good as Kevin De Bruyne. He's easily the best player in the league at the moment. But yeah, if I had to just pick one, I'd probably go for Kevin De Bruyne. Unfortunately, my transfers don't allow me to get him in this weekend. But, you know, with Manchester City playing Leicester, that could be another massively open game. And going off how many goals has been in the Premier League this season already, you know, it could be another 7-goal thriller. But yeah, I think Kevin De Bruyne, after seeing that game against Wolves, like, you've got to seriously be considering him for your midfield.
Yeah, I was all for Sterling, and then seeing that Wolves game yesterday, De Bruyne may well be the safer pick. I mean, I said I think Sterling will outscore him this season, and I stand by that, but I think for now, maybe De Bruyne is a better option. I don't know. Just in terms of starts, like, he's as close to nailed on in that City team as you can be.
And he's on pens.
And you're right, he's just everywhere, isn't he? He's on corners, he's on set pieces, he's on penalties. He scores goals as well as assists. You know, he's the assist king in the Premier League. Am I thinking too out of the box by putting Sterling in instead of him? I mean, the plan was always to get rid of Aubameyang this game week. I mean, I need to wait and see what the news is on Sam Maximan. If he's not playing, my bench isn't really strong enough to bring someone in. So it's either taking a -4 to get De Bruyne or Sterling in for Aubameyang and then get Sam Maximan out, or leaving Aubameyang in and going without those City players for one more game week. But it feels like, especially after that performance against Wolves, you need some City players in there, don't you? Ahead of, I mean, then they play Leeds, so it's like you've got to kind of need to get them in. I'm not sure now on De Bruyne or Sterling.
Yeah, it's so tough. I mean, you know, Sterling's going to get like at least 15 goals this season. At least he's probably going to be pushing 20. So, you know, he's going to be a great option, just like he was last season. But De Bruyne was the highest scorer in the game, wasn't he, last season? I think he's going to have another great season. Obviously, he's a lot more expensive this year, but I think out of everyone, he's going to be the man who's most consistent. Like, we've seen Salah not deliver, we've seen Aubameyang not deliver. The first game week we saw Mane not deliver. So, and like you say, Fernandes is playing in a United team that doesn't look that impressive at the moment.
Would you be confident captaining De Bruyne?
I mean, I captained him quite a lot last season. I think it's just because the default mindset in my head is that obviously you've got these midfielders who are wingers, like Salah and Mane, and then you've got the midfielders who are midfielders, like De Bruyne. And like the default in my head is, oh no, he's going to be sat deeper, so he's not going to score as highly as them. But he proved last season that he did, and I don't know why I've got that mindset. But...
No, it makes complete sense. I'm the same. Yeah, you think, oh, his ceiling perhaps isn't as high as the others.
Yeah.
And actually, like, it clearly is. He's done it for the whole of last season. So you've got to be confident captain him.
Yeah.
Who are we going to captain this week, lads?
I've got the big C on Salah against Arsenal.
Yeah.
I think that fixture historically provides quite a lot of goals.
Yeah.
So I'm backing Salah for that.
Yeah, me too. And it does make me tempted to keep Aubameyang because he's scored the last few games against the big teams in those big matches. So I wouldn't be surprised if he bagged a goal, but then I've got TAA and Robbo at the back. So it's like, well, do you put your faith in them or do you spread it and think Aubameyang? Because, you know, chances are one of them's going to blank. So it's just whether to move Aubameyang on for those City players. I mean, yeah, I was on Bruno at the start of the season for the game against Brighton, but just can't possibly risk that now. So I'm on Salah at the moment as well. Yeah. What about you, Ben?
Captain armband is on Werner against West Brom.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
I think that's a great shout, and that's exactly what you need to do this game week, I think.
I really like, I mean, I'm still very tempted to play a wild card, but just because looking around at different fixtures as well, I think there's three teams with a great run of fixtures now. Everton's one, Wolves is another, and Chelsea is another one, because Chelsea have now got West Brom, Crystal Palace, Southampton, Man United, who are terrible, Burnley, Sheffield United, Newcastle, and then they play Spurs. But then again, Leeds, Everton, and Wolves. That's, it gets tricky for them around game week 10, Chelsea.
Mm.
But
yeah.
I can see Werner building up a bit of steam. Is that the right phrase? Building up a bit of...
Yeah, a bit of steam. Head of steam.
Ahead of steam. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm going to back him. And actually, his ownership is dropping all the time, which is great to see. You know, when we first started, the first episode, he was over 50%. Last week, he was 45% owned, I think. This week, he is 36% owned.
Wow.
With a quarter of a million transfers out this week so far.
And his price hasn't dropped.
No, 9.5 still.
He's looked okay, though. So I'm surprised that people have been taking him out. Against West Brom, who conceded, what, 8 goals?
It's that classic, isn't it, Rich? It's the casual player, knee-jerk, classic, like, he's not scored, get him out. But yeah, you're right.
So
I mean, that's going to be... I think that's a really, really good decision, Ben, because you're upside chasing then. You're going to select a player that perhaps won't be captained by that many. And against West Brom, this has got to be the time now, hasn't it, where Chelsea step up and go, right, we're here and these are our new players and we're going to... And Werner, it's a perfect opportunity for Werner to get some goals, isn't it? I mean, yeah, tempted to bring him in now.
Yeah, could get him in there. All right, we've been talking for, well, it seems like forever, and Luke's rant went on for half of this podcast. So let's answer one question, because we've only got time for one question. Luke, have you got Twitter in front of you?
I have. FPL Tips, Harry, our friend at FPL Tips, asks, I know a goalkeeper is for life, but with McCarthy in goal, is it too early to use a transfer to change goalkeepers?
God, he's awful, isn't he? I don't think he's made a save this season. Yeah, he looks so bad.
Yeah, I'm so glad I went with Matt Ryan instead of McCarthy. I think it is probably too early, Harry. Yeah, don't use your transfer on a keeper. You know, they play Burnley next. That could easily
and then
nil-nil.
West Brom. So
yeah, exactly. So I'd stick with him for now. Stick with him for now. I actually think, Rich, looking at these fixtures this week, it could be much, much lower, couldn't it, scoring wise? Much lower. I mean, we'll look at, you got Brighton United, which, you know, who knows what'll happen there. Palace Everton, which we spoke about, could be tight. West Brom Chelsea's obviously, you know, might be some goals. Burnley Saints, Sheffield United Leeds, Spurs Newcastle, City Leicester, West Ham Wolves. I think Fulham Villa, I think they're all, you know, they don't scream out at me as like, there's going to be loads of goals. What do you think?
Yeah, no, sorry, I'm just fuming because I've just seen that every game is on TV again and the Everton game is on Amazon Prime, the one thing I don't subscribe to. So get in, I guess I'll be listening to that one on the radio. But yeah, I mean, again, I think there's going to be a lot of goals this weekend. Why would the goals stop? Everybody's in such goal-scoring form. Even the teams who are, like, struggling are scoring a lot of goals, like Fulham. I mean, the only ones who I don't think are going to really get many goals are probably going to be Burnley and Sheffield United, just because they look pretty toothless once again, and I think they're going to have difficult seasons. But you know, you look at West Ham v Wolves, could be a lot of goals in that one. Man City, Leicester, Liverpool, Arsenal, there's so many fixtures that could, you know, get into, you know, the high scoring fixtures that we've seen on the weekend just gone. But yeah, no, I'm excited for this one. You've got to invest in your attack this season, I think.
Yeah, judging from the early results, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that just about covers everything, doesn't it, for us? For the game week three, we kind of know who we're captaining. We kind of know who we're bringing in. Let us know if you've got any more thoughts, questions, etc. on Twitter, and we'll answer them on there or get to them next week.
And remember, I'll put the teams on Twitter and Instagram. So I'd like some opinions on our teams in the comments. So drop us an opinion on that, please. At Triple Captain Free on Instagram and Twitter.
And a quick shout out to number one in our Triple Captain League is Alden Morris with his team Teemo Therapy. He is currently first in the Triple Captain Fantasy League.
Nice. Good team name, that, as well. Right, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Big Pod Quiz.
Hello, my name is Charlie, and welcome to the Big Pod Quiz, a pub quiz in podcast form. Every week, we invite a special guest onto the quiz to take part in 5 rounds of pod quiz action. We bring the pub to you every Thursday at 7 p.m, so make sure you've got your beers chilled and your thinking caps ready to go head-to-head with some of the country's favourite musicians, sports commentators, radio hosts, and whoever else will do it for free. So, here's a quick taster of how it sounds. Question 1. What is the best podcast quiz available on all major podcast platforms? That's right, it's the Big Pod Quiz. Honestly, mate, who wrote this? This is the cheesiest thing that I've ever had to read.
Listen now on your chosen podcast app.